Masechet Pesachim has been dedicated by Mr. Ike J. Shehebar in honor of his grandparents, Mr. Ike and Jeanette Beebe. We bless Mr. Ike Shehebar, who's been a sponsor of the Daf Yomi for many days. They should continue to enjoy success, health, and happiness. May his grandparents also enjoy much nachat from him as well as all their grandchildren, and may they only share in simachot for the entire family. Amen.
Daf Nun Dalet. Today's daf has been dedicated in honor of Jack and Lillian Seton by their son Chaim and Marilyn Seton. Hashem Aleihem Yichyu. Amen.
Amen.
Today's daf is being studied by Eilu Nishmat Acham Baruch Rafael Ben Miriam and Avraham ben Esther, Ruach Hashem Tanichem b'Gan Eden, Amen. Today's daf is being studied in Fuas Shelema, Yaakov ben Ora, El Narefana Lo, Betok Shear Chole Amo Yisrael, Amen.
Amen.
We are going to review just an episode that we ended last night's daf on, and then we will continue on today's daf. The Gemara, towards the bottom of Nun Gimal, we will start 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines from the bottom just to review the story, even though we already studied it, but we'll review it again just in order to get the flow of the Gemara. And the Gemara says, Ula habar achiv hamra. Ula was riding on a donkey, ve'azil, and going, ve'ava shakil ve'azil Rabbi Abba mimineh. Rabbi Abba was traveling with him to his right, ve'rabba bar chana misimaleh, and Rabba bar chana was traveling to his left. Amar le Rabbi Abba le'ula. So Rabbi Abba tells Ula, v'day da'amritu mishemed Rabbi Yohanan, en mevarchin ala or, ela b'motzei Shabbat, hu'il v'tchilat b'riyatohu. Is it true what they say in the name of Rabbi Yohanan that the only time you make a beracha on the ner, meaning boreh me'oreh ha'esh, is on Motzei Shabbat, because that's when the or was originally created, as opposed to making a beracha on any other night, which means even Motzei Kippur, you would not make a beracha on esh, because since esh was not created on Motzei Kippur, Rabbi Yohanan is telling you only on Motzei Shabbat. So Rabbi Abba is trying to confirm that. Is it true that such a statement was recorded in the name of Rabbi Yohanan's name, that you only make the beracha morei ha'esh on Motzei Shabbat because that's when it was invented and created? Hadar Ula, so Ula turned around, Chaza be'rabba bar barchana bishut. So he looked at Rabba barchana, as she says, bepanim zu'afot. He looked at him angrily. Why? Ula understood that Rabbi Abba must have heard this statement quoted in the name of Rabbi Yohanan from Rabba bar Barchana. So therefore, he gave him a look, because he didn't hold like that. Ula didn't hold that that's the halakha, especially in the name of Rabbi Yohanan. So he like chastised with a dirty look to Rabba bar Barchana to say, what is this all about? Amaleh, so Rabba bar Chana defends himself, and he says, "Ana lav aha amre." He says they misinterpreted me. When I was quoting Rabbi Yohanan, I was quoting him regarding something else. What was he quoting him? Ela aha amri. I was quoting him on ana lav aha amri. I was not quoting him the gaber saying the boreh moresh on Motzei Shabbat, where you can deduce from there that only Motzei Shabbat and not somewhere else. Ela aha amri. I was quoting Rabbi Yohanan regarding the following statement. Detani tana kamed Rabbi Yohanan. There was a statement that Tana that said in front of Rabbi Yohanan. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar said, Yom Kippurim Shechal Yot B'Shabbat, right? Kippur and Shabbat the same day. Av Bimkom She'amru She'lo Lehadlik, which means the Gemara says, even in a place that the custom was not to light Nerot, if you remember we learned in our Mishnah, that on Kippur itself, there was a Minhag. Some had a Minhag to light Nerot, and some had a Minhag not to light Nerot. So Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar said, even in a place that had a custom not to light Nerot on Kippur, but if Kippur falls out on Shabbat, Madlikin mipenei kevod Shabbat. In that case, you do light לכבוד שבת. ועני רבי יוחנן בטרי, and רבי יוחנן, on that Tanaic statement, רבי יוחנן commented and said, וחכמים אוסרים. But you should know that the rabbis are אוסר, meaning even in יום כיפור, שחל להיות בשבת, even in such a case, you don't light נרות. So therefore he says, Rabbi Barhanan is coming along to say, that's what I was referring to when I came to Rabbi Yohanan's statement. I wasn't talking about Motzei Shabbat, that you make a barakah where you could do dus from there, that only Motzei Shabbat and not Motzei Kippur. I was referring to something totally different. I was referring to, in a place that has a minhag not to light nerot generally on Kippur, there we have a machloket. Rabbi Shimon Chazal says you do light lichvod Shabbat, and I just said you should know Rabbi Yohanan quoted the Hakim to say still that case is asur, but nothing to do with what Rabbi Abba is quoting. So the Gemara says Amar le adateh. So when Ula heard that interpretation, he said Adate, meaning this is true. Correct, this is true, I agree with this deen. So it comes out, let's just see the Gemara one more line. Kari Ale Rabbi Yosef. So when Rabbi Yosef heard this give and take, the back and forth between Ula and Rabbi Bar Hana, he quoted the following pasuk. Mayim amukim etza belev ish ve'ish tevuna yidlena. Which means he quoted a pasuk in Mishle. My, and the Gemara explains, Mayim amukim etza belev ish, the wisdom or the counsel that lies in a person's heart, a wise man's heart, is as deep as the ocean, as deep as the waters. What is this referring to? Ze'ula. This right away refers to the genius and the smartness of Ula. Why? Because he understood right away from Rabbi Abba that it was Rabba Bar Hana that caused him to make the mistake. And therefore, he right away knew when Rabbi Abba said, is it true that such a statement was made by Rabbi Yohanan? Right away, Ula figured it out, that Rabbi Abba is referring to Rabba Bar Hana was also traveling with him on the road. So what did Ula immediately do? He turned around without saying anything, just looked at Rabba Bar Hana angrily, which means right away, Ula caught the whole scenario. Which is, Rabbi Abba came along and said, hey, is it true that this statement that you only make Morei Oresh or Motzei Shabbat was said in the name of Rabbi Hanan? What Rabbi Abba really meant to say was, hey, I got this from Rabba Bar Hana. Now, Rabbi Abba didn't say that, but Ula right away understood that it must have been from Rabba Bar Hana. That's why he turned around to him right away and looked at him as if to say, what's going on here? So he said on this pasuk, Mayim amukim asab belevish, meaning the counsel, the wisdom of the Hakam, Ula in this case, was very deep. The ish tivunot yidlena, but a wise man is able to tap in and draw it out. And exactly. Who's that referring to? Zera Baba Rahana. Which means right away, he knew what was going on. Which means, Ula didn't tell Rabba Bar Hana anything. He just looked at him, angrily. Right away, Rabba Bar Hana started to defend himself. No, that's not what I meant. That's not what I said. Which means no words were exchanged. So you see how smart Rabba Bar Hana was, that he was able to right away, defend his position without having to have any words exchanged. So that shows you the ish tivunot, the genius of Rabba Bar Hana. That being said, it comes out that according to Rabba Bar Hana, as well as Ula, they both are holding now that you would make ish not only on Motzei Shabbat, but you would also make it on Motzei Kippur. Right? Because they didn't help Rabbi Yohanan made that statement. Only on Shabbat because it was created. Now what would be the logic? On Motzei Shabbat, I understand why you would make ish, because that's when it was created. That we don't argue. That's a fact. But on Kippur, the logic would be what? Since until that point, it was forbidden to benefit from a nir. On Kippur, nir is asur, right? You can't light it, you can't use it for cooking, you can't use it for anything, any heter reasons. So therefore, on Kippur, the reason why you would make the beracha is because now it has become permissible. It went from becoming isur to permissible, so therefore we make a beracha. So that would be the logic. And the Gemara is going to say this now. The Gemara says, We're on the third line. V'inhu keman savruha, which means ula and rabba, that did not want to agree to Rabbi Abba's statement that Rabbi Yohanan made it in the name of Rabbi Yohanan, which is they wanted to say that there's no difference between Motzei Shabbat and Motzei Kippur. In both cases, you make Motzei Ish. Who are they going like? Who do they hold like? Kiyad Amar Rabbi Binyamin Bar Yefet Amar Rabbi Yohanan. They have a statement from Rabbi Binyamin Yefet in the name of Rabbi Yohanan that said what? Bevarchin ala or ben bemotzei Shabbat ben bemotzei Yom Kippurim, which means you do make the beracha whether it's Motzei Shabbat or Motzei Kippur. Vechen amad davar, and that's what the custom of the people is. So therefore, they were obviously relying on this statement of Rabbi Yohanan that does not make a chinuk between Motzei Shabbat or Motzei Kippur. In both cases, one would make the beracha of Bore Meore Ha'esh. Again, logic being, since it was asur the whole day, and now it became permissible, so therefore you have to make a beracha as such. Comes the Gemara and continues. Metive, we have a question. En bevarchin ala or ela bemotzei Shabbat. Have a brayta. The brayta says you only make meorei ha'esh on motzei Shabbat ho'il v'tchilat b'riyato. Because since that is the beginning of its creation, as we're going to learn that the fire was created on motzei Shabbat. V'cheban shiro'e mevarech miyad. This is a side point. Tanna Kamma now tells us, when do you make the beracha? So he says the first time you see or wherever it is. Which means, according to Tanna Kamma, you don't have to wait for Havdalah necessarily to make the official Havdalah with Esh and Havdalah. No, the first moment you see Esh on Motzei Shabbat, wherever you might be, by the way, you make Bore Meore Esh. The Biyuda Omer Sodran Alakos. The Biyuda says, no. The Beracha Bore Meore Esh is said in the Havdalah with the Kos, like we do. Meaning we have the Gefen, and you have the Besamim, and you make the Esh, etc. So then we said you do it in the formal Havdalah like we do. Comes the Gemara and says, V'amar Rabbi Yohanan Halakha Rabbi Yehuda. Oh, and incidentally, Rabbi Yohanan did say Halakha follows Rabbi Yehuda. Now, when you're saying that Halakha follows Rabbi Yehuda, it's mashma that what? That you make it in the Havdalah, but the statement was only the Gaber Motzei Shabbat. It was not the Gaber Motzei Kippur. What do you mean? You just told me to be Binyamin Ben Yefet, that Rabbi Yohanan holds Ben Motzei Shabbat, Ben Motzei Kippur. But now it's mashma that he only holds Motzei Shabbat. So the Gemara says, Nakashya. No question. Kan Be'or Sheshabbat. Kan be'ora yotze min ha'etzim u'min ha'avanim, which means it depends. There's different types of fires. There's one type of fire that's called or sheshavat. What does or sheshavat mean? Literally, a fire that rested. That's she, second line. She'aya b'shabbat shedalak hayom, which means it was on Shabbat, it was lit. Umikol makom memelechet avera Shabbat. However, no isur was done with that fire. For example, shedalak beheter. Let's say they lit the fire for a heter reason. How is it permissible on Shabbat to light a fire beheter? And she says, kegon shel haya v'shel chole. A lady just gave birth, so therefore halakha says you're allowed to light a ner for her. Or let's say somebody was sick, so you're allowed to light a ner for the sick person, or ner hadolek me'erev Yom Kippurim. Or for that matter, let's say it was lit through the Yom Kippur, but they lit it from before Yom Kippur, meaning it was lit on Kippur, but it was actually lit me'erev Kippur, mevarchin ap v'motze'ev Yom Kippurim. On such a fire, you're able to make a beracha Meorea esh on Motzei Kippur. Da'i beracha mishum de davar chidushu lo shelo nene min ha'or hayom. Which means, even though this fire existed on Kippur, it was lit on Kippur. Either it was lit beheter, or it was lit from before Kippur. On such a fire, it is permissible to make the beracha on Motzei Kippur. Borei Meorea esh. Why? Because now you're allowed to benefit from this fire. Mm-hmm. Which means until that point, this fire was forbidden. Now this exact fire becomes mutar. So that's the type of fire that we're saying, and that's the type of fire that Rabbi Yochanan was saying, that you make the beracha on Motzei Kippur. Next, Rashi, Be'or ha'yotze ma'ayetzin dinivra achshav. But let's say you have a new fire. Motzei Kippur, guy took two stones together and made a new fire. Rashi, en mevarchim ala b'motzei yom kippurim. That type of fire you don't make on Motzei Kippur. Ela b'motzei Shabbat. She'afu t'chilat b'riyat ha'or. Which means the two statements of Rabbi Yochanan are reconciled as follows. On one case he said you make Moresh on Yom Kippur, Motzei Kippur. On what type of fire is that? A fire that existed.
From before Kippur.
Either it existed before Kippur or is lit on Kippur Beheter. For example, for a sick person or something like that. But the point is, because you want to contrast, this exact fire that was Asur today, now has become Mutar. Make the Merakah. However, on Motzei Kippur, if somebody would take, let's say, a new fire, and rub two stones, you don't make a berakha on this. Because this fire per se was not asur, it didn't exist. So therefore, when do you make a berakha on new fire that's only Motzei Shabbat? So therefore, the two statements are hard to reconcile. One time he said, you make it on Motzei Kippur. One time he said, you don't. What's the reconciliation? Two different fires, exactly. Existing fire or a new fire. And that is the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan. Tani Hada. We have one Tanaic statement. Right. Or hayotze min ha'etzim u'min ha'avanim mevarchin alav. If you have a fire that comes out of the sticks or the stones, means it's a new fire, you make a beracha on it. V'tani Hada in mevarchim alav. And we have another statement that says, you don't make a beracha on this fire. How do you reconcile the two brayot? Very easily. Lakasha. Kam b'motzei Shabbat, kam b'motzei Yom Kippurim. Motzei Shabbat, new fire, yes, because you're commemorating the invention. Motzei Kippur, no. The whole Hiddush is a fire that was Asur that now became Mutar. Therefore, you can only make it on an existing flame, but not on a flame that was not there during Kippur. Comes the Gemara and says, Rabbi Mifazran. Rabbi would scatter them, literally. Rashi says, Rabbi kishera'a or, and let's say Motzei Shabbat, when he saw a fire, mevarech alav biyad, he would make it immediately. Uchshemevi'im lo besamim lesof sha'a mevarech alav. He would scatter the berachot. The first contact gathered with fire, he made ish. The first contact gathered with besamim, he would make besamim. Befazlan, he would scatter them. Rabbi Chaya mechansan. Rabbi Chaya, he would gather them, collect them, meaning alakos. Rashi says, kemosha anu osim. Meaning he would make the official Havdalah, give it everything in one shot. Exactly. Amar Rabbi Yitzhak Bar Avdimi. Afalpi Shirabi Mifazran. Even though Rabbi would make each of these berachot separately as they came to him, Choser V'sodran Alakos. He did make the official Havdalah Alakos, Kede Lehotzi Banav Ubnei Beto, in order to fulfill the obligation of his wife and family, which is they also obligated to have Havdalah. So therefore, the Hiddush is that even though he made it himself, but the Halakha does say, Kevan Shiyatza Motzi, which means he is able to fulfill their obligation as well. Therefore, he would go home and make an official Havdalah for his family. Comes the Gemara and says, Ve'or b'motzei Shabbat Ibre. Are you telling me that the fire was created on Motzei Shabbat? Ve'atanya, we have a Braita. Asara devarim nivriu be'erev Shabbat ben Hashemashot. There were 10 items that were created on the first Friday afternoon ben Hashemashot at twilight. Elohen, and these are the 10 items that were created. And what are they? The Gemara says, Elohen, be'er, that is the well, as she says, be'erah shel Miriam. Miriam's well that traveled with the Jewish people during the Midbar, Sela shiyatzu mimenu hamayim al yedei Moshe. That was the rock that the water came out of with Moshe Rabbeinu. Ve'agol kemin kibarai, as it was round like a sieve or a sifter. Mitkalgil amem kol makom shulchim, and it rolled. Uh-huh. It rolled with them wherever they went. So that be'er of Miriam, which was like a rock, a round rock, was created Erev Shabbat ben Hashemashot. The Haman, Haman is the man that came down from heaven. Haman with a dagesh. Vekeshet, that's the food from heaven. Right? Vekeshet is the rainbow, right, that eventually was shown after the flood to Noah. Ktav, Ktav is the writing. Rashi says, Kriat Shema Otiyot, which means the letters. The letters of the alphabet were created also, Ben Hashem Asot, that they're calling the Ktav, the letters. Shemot Otiyot, Aleph, Bet, Gimel, the names of the letters. Umichtav, Umichtav, Rashi says, Hamichtav, Hakikatan Vitsudatan, which means the actual drawing of the letters and the engraving of the letters. That's one explanation that Rashi says, Kach Shamarti says, Velinire, then Rashi brings a different interpretation, Ktav, Zuhi Hakikatan, Hakikat Suratan. That the Ktav is the actual shapes of the letters, Vamichtav, Hi Et. That's actually the quill that was used to engrave the letters onto the Luchot. So in the second interpretation, Ktav is the letters themselves, and the Mikhtav is the instrument, the stylus that he used in order to, engrave it on the onto the Luchot themselves. Fine. What else? The Luchot. Okay, the tablets themselves. The Kivro Shil Moshe, that would be the grave of Moshe Rabbeinu. Even though the Torah says nobody knows where that grave is, but God prepared it and created it at that time. Umeara she'amad mo Moshe ve'Eliyahu, and the cave that Moshe Rabbeinu stood in, and later on Eliyahu also stood in that cave. When was that? That she says, if you remember, after the Egel, Moshe Rabbeinu had asked God that he should show him his ways. He wanted to understand God's ways. And then God told him to go stand b'nikrat asur. Go stand at the opening of the rock over there, and he saw God pass over him. And that was the cave that Moshe Rabbeinu stood at. And then Eliyahu HaNavi also, when he was running away from Izebel, so also he hid out in a cave, and that was the same cave of Moshe Rabbeinu. So that cave was created Erev Shabbat, Ben Hashem Asot. Right? God revealed himself to them. Comes the Gemara and says, Petihat Pi Ha'aton. Which means, in Bil'am's time, his donkey had opened its mouth and started to talk to him. That concept that his donkey is going to talk, that already was set into motion already from Biryat Ha'olam. That the donkey of Bil'am is going to open its mouth, that already was programmed from the beginning of the creation. Okay? Uftihat Pi Ha'ares Liblowa Et Harsha'im. And the fact that the ground was going to open up to swallow the Sha'im, that was in the times of Korah, when they went against Moshe Rabbeinu, hit him in his cohorts. So that already was prepared already from Ben Hashem Ashot on the first Friday, as he says, Adat Korah. So now, the Gemara continues, Rabbi Nehemiah Omer, Mishum Abiv, Af Ha'or, which means even light was created, fire, was created on Erev Shabbat. Ve'ha-pered. Pered would be a mule. That's a cross between a horse and a donkey. So that was created already also on Erev Shabbat, the pered. Huh? Why? We'll see. That she says, En kol hadash ta'at ha-shamesh. Of course, there's nothing new under the sun. U'pered lishon nivra min ha'arez ve'lo ba min ha-kla'ayim. Because nothing can just come from
nothing.
There's no new things. So therefore, God created the pit. Later on, when man came and started to crossbreed, that wasn't the first one. There was already a pit that was created from before. Nothing new under the sun. Rabbi Yoshiyahu Omer Mishum Abiv. Rabbi Yoshiyahu says in the name of his father, Af Ha'ayil, the ram of Avraham Abinu. After Akedat Yitzhak, there was a ram that was caught in the bushes, and Avraham Abinu took it out and put it on the Mizbeah. Vashamir, Shamira, she says, kemin tolat, was like a type of worm. The end called davar kaseh omed b'fanav. I was able to break through any hard, material. Shelo yitparek, without it cracking. Ubo banas Shelomo atabayit. Shelomo used it to build a bayit because she wasn't allowed to use any metal, and was able to, cut the stones and make the proper engravings that were necessary without having to use any metal. That was the shamir worm, a special worm. The Biyuda Omer af atsevet, even the first sevet, that's the metal tongs that she says atsevet shel barzel, that are made out of metal. So that's the Gemara proves it, why they had to be made. Because you need tongs to make tongs. Because how are you going to take it out of the hot fire? So who made the first tzevet? So God had to make the first tzevet. So the Gemara says, the Biyuda Omer, afa tzevet, huwaya Omer, tzavta, betzavta betavda. Which means a tzavta, tongs are made with tongs, which you need them already to take them out. Betzavta kamaita man avad. And who made the first one? Ela must be ha la'i, must be true. Bere bide shamayimu, bria bide shamayimu, must be a creation of God. That's his proof. Okay, so Kazi Gavaran says, look at the Rashi for a second. Tzavta she'osin akshav anapachim. That's the tongs that the smiths make, the blacksmiths, etc. Betzavta mitabid ayedet tzevet acheriti asuya she'ohazab betzevet umakeh bekonas ad shenasid. It's very hot, the metal, so they hold it with tongs and they bang it in order to shape it. But you need to hold it with something. So yeah, it must be the first one was created by God. So the Gemara says, Lakasha. No, I'm sorry. Amar le. So the rabbi told him, no proof. Why? Efshar ya'asena bidfus v'yikbe'ena. Which is, you don't have to make the tongs with the tongue itself. You could put it in a
mold.
Right? You cast it. Put it in a mold. Now it has the shape. And after it has the shape, it cools down, you take it out. So that you don't have to say that they needed one from the beginning. So the Gemara says, Kevan ha-la'e, therefore since this is true, b'riya b'de adami. So you have to begin. You could argue that it was the first one was created by man. Okay, now we go back to our question. You told us earlier that what? The fire was created, the first fire on Motzei Shabbat. Now you tell me that the first fire was created Erev Shabbat Ben Hashem Ashot. How do you reconcile? Nakasha. Ha be'or didan. Ha be'or digenam. It depends. There's two different fires. Right, there's our fire, which is beneficial to us, and then there's the fire of Gehinnam. Or Didan b'motzei Shabbat. The fire that's beneficial for human beings to use, that was created by Adam Rishon Motzei Shabbat. Or the Gehinnam b'ereb Shabbat. But the fire of Gehinnam, that was created already on Friday afternoon. Comes the Gemara and says, Ve'or the Gehinnam b'ereb Shabbat Ibre. Well, is that so? The fire of Gehinnom was created on Erev Shabbat. Why? That Tanya, we have a Braita. Shva devarim nivre'u kodem shenivre'u ha'olam. There are seven things that were created even before the world was created. Which is not on Friday. This is talking about even before day one. Seven items were created. One of these items. Then when Torah. Of course, the Torah was already, right, from much before the world was created.
The letters were...
Right, the letters, I had that.
Ve'eluhen Torah, v'teshuvah is the concept of repentance. Ve'gan Eden, that's paradise. Ge'nam, that's the other place. Ve'kiseh HaKavod, that's the chair of God, the chair of glory of God. Ubet HaMikdash, that's the temple. Vishmo Shil Mashiach, and the name of Mashiach. Ben Ish Chai explains it means the name of the Mashiach, from the letters of the Mashiach's name, that's where all the Kiddusha and the Shefa comes down into the world. So God creates all the pipes of the Kiddusha, of the Hashpa'ah of the Mashiach. Fine. So comes the Gemara and says, Now the Gemara is just going to prove that how do you know these things were indeed created before the actual world? So the Gemara says, Torah, Dichtiv, Hashem Kanani, Reshit Darko. Which means the Torah, God says, was acquired, Reshit Darko, in the beginning of the path, which means it was created before everything.
That's right.
Right? The Reshit Darko, Kodem Nishar Derachim, right? Before any other roads. Vehad de Amran Le'el. Haktav Be'erib Shabbat. That which we said earlier, that the Kitab was written on Erev Shabbat, right? The writing was written on Friday. Bichtavan Sheluchot. Vezu Aita Ketuvah Metchila Be'esh Shechora Al Gabe Levana. There were different writings. The writings of Friday, that's the regular writings of the Luchot. This Torah, however, originally was written Be'esh Shechora Al Gabe Lebana. It was written a Torah on black fire, on white fire. So this was a different type of sefer over here. This was the fiery sefer Torah that was written from before. Okay, right? Ketuvah Be'esh Shechora Al Gabe Lebana.
Like God's copy.
Right, a special copy, exactly. So comes the Gemara and says, Teshuvah. How do you know Teshuvah was created before the world? Dichtiv. Beterem harim yuladu. Right, before the mountains were born. Uchtiv. Tashev enosh ad daka. Vatomer shuvu b'nei adam. Which means, Tashev enosh ad daka. The human beings would be returned Adaka to a pulp, Vatomer, means before human beings were even conceived, Vatomer, God said, Shuvu b'nei Adam, repent. So already the concept of the Shuvah was created from before. So the Maharsha explains over here, actually in the Darim, that before the world was created, and God returned humans to pulp, what was this referring to? Otam tatka'ad dorot. There was 974 generations, shayu re'uim libiraot. There were 974 generations of people that should have been created. But God saw that all those generations that should have been created are going to be wicked. So God obliterated them, so to speak, even before they were created. And therefore, before He created the world that we have now, which means, I'm only creating you on the condition that what? You will make Teshuvah. So you see, Teshuvah already preceded the world. Okay, next one. Gan Eden. How do you know Gan Eden was created? Dichtiv vayita Hashem Elohim Gan Be'eden Mikedem. So from the fact that it says Gan Be'eden Mikedem, Mikedem is mashma before, which means the Gan Eden was already there before the world was created. Now, of course, literally the word Kedem means to the east of Eden. However, we're reading it as if it says Mikodim. Mikodim would mean from before, meaning from before the world was created. Mm-hmm. Right, because if it was talking to the east, it should have said Bekedim, in the east. Mikedim is Masha Mikodim, therefore it is talking about before the world. Furthermore, Geinam, how do you know Geinam was created before the world? Dichtiv, because the Pasuk says, Ki aruch me'etmol tofte. Let's get that pasuk. That is in Yeshaya. Ki aruch me'etmol tofte. It was already prepared from before. What was prepared from before? Tofte. Now, tofte is another word for gehinam. She says, shekola mitpate biyisro nofel sham. Tofte is from a lashon of to be seduced or enticed. Anybody that's enticed by the Yetzer Hara ends up over there. So they call Geinam Tofte, the place where people are enticed and end up. Kiseh HaKavod u'Bet HaMikdash. How do you know Kiseh HaKavod in the Bet HaMikdash? Dichtiv. Kiseh HaKavod Marom Mirishon Makom Mikdashenu. Okay, so there you got your pasuk over there. Marom Mirishon. Marom hu ba'aravot. Marom is one of the, you know, the high levels in Shamayim. Mirishon. Mirishon means Mikodem, from before. Ha'olam. So therefore, that's where the Kiseh HaKavod is. V'chein makom mikdashenu. And so too, the place of the Beit HaMikdash was also designated from before the world. Shemo shel Mashiach. The name of the Mashiach. Dikhtiv. Yehi shemo le'olam. Lifnei shemesh. Before the sun was created. Yinon shemo. Already, God established the name of the Mashiach, which we call him Yinon. So now we're back to the question. You said that Gehinnom was created on Erev Shabbat. Right? That was the fire. The fires of Gehinnom on Erev Shabbat. But now we're saying that the fires of Gehinnom were created, or Gehinnom was created before the world. How do you reconcile that? So Gemara says, Amre halala hu nivra kodim shenivra ha'olam. The area, the spot was for Gehinnom was created, the space. But the fire itself wasn't created until Erev Shabbat. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shekori Yavarav.
Amen.
Amen. The Gemara continues. Ve'or didei be'erev Shabbat Ibre. Oh, you're telling me that the fire of Gehinnom was created on Erev Shabbat? Is that possible? Ve'ad Tanya, we have a braita. Rabbi Yosef Omer, Or Shebara Kadosh Baruch Hu, B'sheni B'Shabbat, the fire that God created on the second day of creation, En Lo Kiviya Le'olam. It does not extinguish forever. Now on the second day, it says God created the Shamayim. Now the Shamayim is Esh Umayim. So there was a fire that was created on Monday. And the Gemara says, what type of fire was that? The inextinguishable fire. So the Gemara says, Shnei Emar, like the Pasuk says, this Pasuk would be in Yeshaya, V'yatze'u v'ra'u b'figre anashim ha'poshim. You're going to go out and see all the sin makers, B, that sinned against me, ki tola'tam lo tamut, v'isham lo tekbeh. Which means tolartam, it sounds like they're going to be decay eternally. And what? The fire is going to consume them forever. No tekbeh. Now obviously we're talking about the Sha'im in Gehinnom. So you see what? The fire of Gehinnom was actually created on the second day. How you tell me that it was created on Erev Shabbat? Now how do we know this was the fire of Gehinnom? The Gemara says, V'amar b'bana b'red Rabbi Ula, why doesn't it say the words Kitov on Yom Sheni? After the creation of every single day, it says Bayar Elohim Kitov, Kitov. On Yom Sheni, it does not say the words Kitov. So it says, because the fires of Gehinnom were created on Monday. Therefore, it was not said Kitov. Ve'amar bin Hazar Fapishlo Ne'emar Bo Kitov Hazar Ve'chalalo Bashishi. But God on Friday after the creation, he included the whole creation and said, Kitov Shnei Emar, Vayar Elohim et kol asher asah, v'neh tov me'od. So the explanation is like this. On Monday, Gehinnom was not good yet because it didn't serve a purpose. After Adam HaRishon was created, so now already even Gehinnom becomes tov because it can purge him from his sins. So therefore, the Tov Me'od is written on Friday. But the point is, the Gemara is saying that it was created on the second day. It wasn't created on Erev Shabbat v'Erev Shabbat. So the Gemara revamps the whole system of the creation of the fires. Ela. Let me see. Ela rejects the above. Halala kodim shenivra ha'olam. The space was created before the world. The urdi de basheni b'shabbat, and its fire was not created until Yom Sheni. Ve'ur didan, and our fire, which means the fire that we use, b'machshava ala libraot be'erev Shabbat, which means, whatever it means, the idea to create it was conceived on Erev Shabbat ben Hashemasot, ve'lo nebra ad Motzei Shabbat, but it wasn't created in actuality until Motzei Shabbat by Adam Rishon. Kaneh, like we said, en kol hadash ta'at haShemesh. You can't have any new creations after Shesh Tamei Maaseh Bereshit. So the potential of it had to be put into the world on Erev Shabbat. So it was considered as part of the creation. And then Motzei Shabbat, when Adam Rishon needed light, so therefore he brought it out into reality. So that comes out the final answer of the Gemara. There's three stages there. You have the light of Gehinnom. That was on Monday, and its space was created from before the world.
Okay.
You have the conception of our light on Erev Shabbat ben Hashem Ashod, and you have the actuality of it created by Adam HaRishon on Motzei Shabbat by rubbing the two rocks together. Now let's read Rashi. Ela. Ela vaday ur de gehinam nevra b'shini b'shabbat. Ve'ad etanya le'el ur ve'erev Shabbat bi'ur didan. Towel. Our fire. When the Tanya b'reshah b'motzei Shabbat, lo tekshi, kam b'machshava, kam b'yitzira, b'erev Shabbat, ala b'machshava nibra'ot, ve'lo nibra'ot, ad motzei Shabbat. Exactly like we explained.
Maybe like the plan was written for it.
Yeah, the potential of in the creation was there, and then it was actually brought into fruition on motzei Shabbat. De Tanya, Rabbi Yose Omer, Shene devarim alu b'machshava nibra'ot b'erev Shabbat, ve'lo nibra'ot motzei Shabbat. Well, actually, two items that were conceived on Erev Shabbat, but were not created until Motzei Shabbat. Umotzei Shabbat, Natan Kadosh Baruch Hu De'a be'Adam Rishon, and God gave Adam Rishon wisdom on Motzei Shabbat. Me'en dugma shel ma'ala, like the wisdom of Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Jesus, the conception was on Friday, but God gave Adam wisdom, me'en shel ma'ala, like a supernatural, godly wisdom, and he was able to bring it out on Motzei Shabbat. With these items, ve'evi shene avanim, Adam Rishon brought two stones, ve'tahanan zubazu, and he grinded them, he rubbed them together, ve'yatza mimena ur, and a fire came. That was one of the things he created on Motzei Shabbat. Ve'evi shte behemot, and then he brought two animals, ve'rkiv zubazu. He took a horse and he took a donkey and he grafted them together. The Yatsamen pitted, and a mule came out as well. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel Omer. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel says no. The mule was not a creation of Adam and Ishton on Motzei Shabbat. Pitted bime anahaya. Pitted already was in the times of a fellow called Anna. If you look in Bereshit, right, and right in the beginning, Bereshit Aleph. The Gemara is going to tell you now that Anna made it. Let's see. I'm just calling you the pasuk. It's in Bereshit Perek Aleph pasuk Lamed Aleph. Ve'ele b'nei Sib'on. Okay, well, actually, let's not jump. Let's read the Gemara first. Gemara says, go back to Gemara. Yeah, I understand. Now, Rabban Shmuel Omer, Pered b'mei Anahaya, Shene Emar, as the Pasuk says, Hu Ana, this is Ana, Asher Matza et Hayemim, that found the Yemim. What is the Yemim? So that's referring to the mules. So they're giving, the Torah is giving credit to the guy called Ana. He was the guy that discovered the mules. Okay, Bamidbar, in the Midbar, Dorshe Hamurot Hayu Omrim. The rabbis that used to be Doresh, the difficult Pesukim, Dorshe Hamurot, they said the following fact about this guy called Ana. Ana Pasul Haya. He himself was as a result of a psul, a psul relationship. Actually, it was a mamzer himself. So it was befitting to him to bring a pasul to the world. He brought the mule to the world. It was also a crossbreed between a hamor and a sus. Now, how do we know that ana was a pasul? So the Gemara quotes the pasuk here. Ele bene se'ir ha'chori. These are the children of se'ir ha'chori, yoshve ha'aris. What was his children's name? This guy, Se'ir. So the pasuk says, Lotan, Shoval, Siv'on, and Ana. Yeah, yeah. So clearly you see, Siv'on and Ana were brothers. Okay? Uchtiv, and then we have another pasuk that says, Ele bene Siv'on, these are the children of Siv'on, Ve'aya Ve'ana. Ana was the son of his brother. How could that be? You just told me that Ana and Siv'on were brothers. Then you tell me Ana was the son of Siv'on. Ela milamed sheva Siv'on al immo. Siv'on cohabitated with his mother, ve'olid memena Ana, and brought Ana. So therefore, Ana was a mamzer, which is he was with his mother. So therefore, it's called, he was the son of Se'ir. He really wasn't the son of Se'ir. Se'ir was married to Siv'on's mother. So therefore, it's calling him the son of Se'ir, but he really wasn't a biological son. He was really the son of Siv'on. Siv'on was the father, right? And Siv'on gravitated with his mother, who was the wife of Se'ir. So that's the story over there. So it was befitting that a psul brings a psul. So the Gemara says, wait, V'dilma tre'ana havu. How do you know? Maybe there were two different guys. How do you know that the ana that created the mule is the same one that was from the psul relationship? Yeah, how do you know it's the same guy? Amar Abba, so Rava came along and said, Amina milta, I'm going to tell you a hiddush, a word, dishbor malka lo amra, that even shbor malka, the king Shippor, didn't say. Who is referring to? He's quoting the king of Shfuz? What kind of business is this? Uman hu Shemuel. Who is this Shemuel? Which is they nicknamed Shemuel, Shbor malka. Mm-hmm. He was like the king of the Hachamim. Why? That she says, Shemuel karele rabba shbor malka meshub debakiya bedinim. Because he was an expert in all the monetary laws, and just like a king, he has like eminent domain, which means whatever the king says regarding monetary laws, it sticks. So therefore, they nicknamed Shmuel. He's like King Shvor, who, as she says, actually was one of the kings of the Persian kings. Okay, in the times of Rava. Says, I'm going to tell you, Hadush, that even Shvor, even Shmuel didn't say. Again, he said, I'm going to tell you a hadush that even Shvor Malka didn't say, Umanu Rava. And in this case, the Papa is referring to Rava as Shvor Malka, also because Halakha follows Rava against Rav Yosef. So therefore, he called him the king. I think it was Rav Yosef. Rava and Rav Yosef. In any event, Amar Kera, because the pasuk says Hu Ana. In regarding to Ana, the pasuk writes Hu Ana. Again, Ve'ele b'nei Siv'on. Right, that pasuk. These are the children of Siv'on. Ve'aya ve'ana Hu Ana. He is Ana Asher Matza et Hayemim. So therefore, he says Hu Ana de Mi'ikara, which means that's the original Ana that we mentioned from the beginning. So basically, let's just review the Ana situation in Parashat Vayishlach Lamed Vav Pasukhaf. Ele b'nesir achori yoshve ha'aris lotan v'shoval v'sevon v'ana. So Ana's name is mentioned as the son of Se'ir. Later on it says, Ele b'nesibon. These are the children of Sif'on, and Ana is listed as one of his children. So the Gemara just wants to say, how do you know that the Ana mentioned in Pasuk Chaf is the same Ana mentioned as the child of Sif'on in Pasuk Chaf Dalet? So the Gemara says, who Ana? The Pasuk Ve'erim Nesimon Ve'ayav Ana. Who Ana? Who Ana is coming? It's the same guy that we mentioned above that was created from an incestuous relationship, and therefore it was befitting for him to create the mule. Comes the Gemara and continues. Tanu Rabbanan, we have a braita. Asara devarim nivreu be'erev Shabbat ben Hashem Ashot. 10 items were created on Erev Shabbat at twilight. Ve'eduhen, be'er, that we explain is the be'er of Miriam, which is the rock where Moshe Rabbeinu got the water from, that traveled with the Jewish people in the Midbar. Uman, that's the heavenly food that came down from the Shamayim every day. Ve'keshet, that's the rainbow. Haktav, Haktav we said is the letters. Vamikhtav, according to Rashi, one interpretation was the actual instrument that was used to write the letters on the Luchot. Ve'al Luchot, that's the Luchot itself. Kibrosh shel Moshe, that's the burial place of Moshe, that's unknown to us. U'me'ara she'amad Moshe ve'Eliyahu, the cave that Moshe and Eliyahu also both stayed in. Petihat pi'aton, the opening of the mule's mouth, donkey's mouth, in the time of Bil'am. See, that was already set into motion that it's going to happen. Uftihat pi'ahar is lowai terishayim, and the ground that was destined to open up to swallow up the Rishayim, which is Korach and his cohorts. V'yesh omrim af maklo shel Aharon, the stick or staff of Aharon, shekedea with its amins ufracheha, and its buddings, its flowers. If you remember, after the machloket of Korach, they just to prove that Aharon was the indeed chosen one, so his staff did sprout amins and buddings, and that was already prepared, so to speak, from the beginning of creation, from Friday ben Hashem Asot. V'yesh omrim af ha-mazikin, and some say also the demons and all the spirits and things like that were also created as well at that time. V'yesh omrim, and some say af bigdo shel Adam Rishon, the famous coat of Adam Rishon, that she says shayu hakukot bo kol min haya ubehema, that had the imagery of all different animals on it. Vehu nimsal l'Nimrod. Eventually that coat was passed on from Adam Rishon to Nimrod. That's why the Pasuk says, Ken Yamer Ken Nimrod Gibor Sayid. Right? He used that in his hunting. Ve'esav harago. Esav eventually killed Nimrod, as she says, Ve'natlo. Ve'nefichach haya Yisayid. So therefore he was also a hunter, because again, the animals were attracted to this coat that had on it all the images of the animals. V'hen shekatu ben hamudot asher ita babayit. Those were the bigdei hamudot that Yaakov Avinu eventually wore when he received the blessings from his father. Yeah. That was the blessings, that was the coat from Esav, right? V'ani shamarti begadav shel adam rishon haynu ktonet or shayulo. Ktonet or, the pasuk says that God made for Adam Rishon a special leather coat, and as she says, could be that that's what this is referring to over here, the special leather coat that only Adam and Ishon wore. Tanu Rabbanan, we have a braita. Shiva devarim mechusim mibne Adam. There are 7 items that are concealed from human beings, which means they are, people cannot predict when or what these things are, when they're going to happen. Example, Eluen Yom Amita. Of course, nobody can predict the day of death. Hachamim do tell us to make teshuvah a day before you die. And since nobody knows when the day is going to die, therefore they want you to make teshuvah really every single day. And that's the advantage, because if a person would know exactly when he's going to die, so he would go and, you know, enjoy himself and commit averot, and then, you know, a week before he start making teshuvah, and then, you know, would be counterproductive. So it keeps a person on his feet, meaning to make teshuvah, so therefore that's concealed from him. The yom ha-nehama, a person that suffers a loss, for example, eventually he becomes consoled. But that day of consolation is not known to him, which means he doesn't know if it's going to last a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a year. that when the consolation finally comes, it comes. And that's his advantage, because if he would know when he's going to be consoled, so he wouldn't worry in the first place. And therefore the punishment would not be a kapara for him, because he'd say, it's going to end anyway by this day, so I just have to endure it. When a person in his mind thinks that it is open-ended, so therefore it becomes much greater of a challenge.
Continues, the omek hadin, the depth of judgment. Harov to'imbo. Most people cannot fathom the depth of judgment, which means when the first explanation, when Betin makes a ruling between two parties, right, and this one is found innocent, now is found guilty, most people cannot understand the logic why, you know, this one gets the money and this one doesn't. So that's one interpretation of Omek Adin. Well, actually, it's referring to the judges. The judges themselves, it's difficult for them to plummet the truth of the case. This guy says his case, this guy says his case. It's trying to get the justice. The judges struggle to get to the Omek Hadin. Or, as she brings down a different interpretation, it's referring to La'atid Labo, which means the judgment of God. And the judgment of God is very, very strict on many things, and it's hard for a human being to understand exactly, how it works. The judgment of God. Okay, Gemara continues. Right, the Ben Yevanish Chai explains, you could have 10 people that committed the same sin, but their punishment is different in all the cases. So because there's different variables, different factors. So therefore, it's Omek Adin. You cannot figure out how did 10 people do the same exact crime and each one's getting a different judgment. That's already Omek Adin. You know, we cannot figure out exactly how God judges each person accordingly. That's Omek Adin. Ve'en Adam Yodeya Ma Bilibo Shel Havero. Furthermore, God concealed to us, nobody knows what their friend is thinking. Because if you knew what your friend was thinking, the world would not be able to exist. Because now you'd go against your friend and thwart his plans, and nobody would be able to, have ideas and succeed. Because everybody knows each other's plan, and you'd beat your friend to it. And therefore, nobody would be able to have hatzlacha. Ve'en adam yodeya bema mistakir. Mm-hmm. Which means nobody knows in which item is worthy for him to invest and which item is not worthy for him to invest. Which means nobody knows exactly what's guaranteed to him to make money. Everything is a risk. The Mefashim explain, because if everybody knew exactly what items to invest in to make money, everybody would just invest in the same item, and then the item would become very expensive. So therefore, for the world to exist, you need people to be investing on both sides in order to keep the market level. Otherwise, everybody's going to be just going after one product. That product's going to be very expensive. They'll be able to afford it. So God keeps that information away from us. That's what Maharsha explains. Umalchut bet David matay tazor. Okay, nobody really knows when the kingdom of David, which is, let's say, the Mashiach, when it's going to happen, when he's going to reveal himself. Umalchut hayevet, and the Malchut harishah, that's Rome, that's the exile that we've been in close to 2,000 years, Matai Techle. We also don't know that when is that going to come to an end. Those are the different things that are concealed from human beings. Comes again when I says, Tanur Banan. Shlosha devarim alu b'machshava libarot. There were three items that alu God conceived to create them. Vim lo alu, and even if they, let's say, were not conceived by God, din hu shi alu, meaning it makes sense for them to be created anyway, which means these things are necessary items in the world. If they weren't conceived, they would have been conceived anyway, so to speak. These are items that are very necessary for the world. And what are they? So the Gemara says, "Alamechi yasriyah."
first of all, that the dead body decomposes. Why is that very necessary? That she says, because if bodies wouldn't decompose, everybody would keep their deceased in their house. And they would constantly look at it. And they would constantly be filled with sad and anguish and pain. Now that they know the body decays, they have to bury it. So therefore, it's out of the person's mind. So he's not pained with the memory of his deceased. And also God did a big favor to the world, that people eventually do forget the deceased. Not forget him totally, but they're able to carry on. They're able to move on. Otherwise people would be, you know, bogged down with the tsar and the yagon and the anguish and the depression, and they couldn't be able to continue. And on wheat that eventually spoils. Why is it advantageous that wheat spoils? So that she says, "Sheim lo ken, ayu ba'ale batim me'atzrin ota, u'mevi'im le'avon le'olam." Everybody would hoard wheat, right? Everybody would save wheat and store it, and therefore there wouldn't be any wheat in the fields for consumption. But now that wheat decomposes, so you don't take so much, and therefore you leave some for others. And therefore, there's enough food to go around for everybody. That God also created a concept that money circulates. Because if you think about it, for example, let's give you an example where the way our currency works. It's paper money. Now, everybody knows that the paper money is not as value as the gold. And still, people accept paper money as a currency. Now, people will not take the money in paper, and you only take gold and silver, so the world cannot exist, and everybody has to have the actual gold. So therefore people have created a system of currency that people trust in, and therefore has a power. That's a table that Kadosh Baruch Hu brought in the world in order for the world to continue to exist. Furthermore, the Mefarshim explained that instead of only transacting in real estate and fields, because otherwise a poor person would starve. Because if people would only take real estate as payment, they give me an acre, give me a property, give me a parcel, Daniim cannot buy food. So God made it that no, money is also accepted as a payment. Therefore, the Daniim also are able to have a chance to have food. Mishnah. Okay. מקום שנהגו לעשות מלאכה בתשעה באב, עושים. מקום שנהגו שלא לעשות מלאכה, אין עושים. So here we have customs. On תשעה באב, we know that's a fast day, commemorating the destruction of the Bate Mikdash. So there was a question, is it permissible to work or not? So really there was no isur or heter set on this, it was based on minhag. So the Mishnah says, if you come from a place where the minhag is to work on Shabbat, so you work. If you come from a place where the minhag is not to work, you don't work. ובכל מקום תמידי חכמים בטלים. But תמידי חכמים should not work on תשעה באב. רבי רבן שאול גמליאל אומר, לעולם יעשה אדם עצמו תמיד חכם. Regarding this halakha, everybody can make himself a tamid chacham, and therefore he's not going to be subject to gava. It's not considered arrogance. Meaning, if a person wants to take off on the Shabbat and treat himself as if he's a tamid chacham, he's allowed in such a case. Now she says, "Velo amrinan mechzi ki yohara." It doesn't look like haughtiness. The imratza libatel nashai. If he wants to, not saying he has to take off. If he wants to act like a tamid chacham, he has the ability. Comes the Gemara. Now again, the logic of why Tamidei Chachamim would be a little more stringent than the regular person is because they have to appreciate the loss of the Beit HaMikdash more than others, because they understand the spiritual loss more than the next guy, so therefore it's more befitting for them to be willing to take off the day of work in order to mourn Yerushalayim. Okay, El Gemara says, Amar Shemuel, En Ta'anit Zibur BeBabel. There are no public fast days in Babel, Ela Tish'a Be'ah Bilbad. Except for Tish'a B'Av. Now what does this mean? There are no public fast days. So that she says, Ho'il ve'en sirichim le'geshamim. since they really didn't need rain, Masechet Tanit, we learned that a major fasting that was done in the olden days in Eretz Yisrael specifically was when there was a drought. And the Gemara Tanit over there lists the whole order of how to fast, and progressively the fast get more serious and more severe as the drought continues. So the Gemara just saying in Bavel they would never make rain fasts because it was in a low-lying area where there was always enough rain. Im gozlin al davar aher, then if they would make a tanit for, let's say, another reason, en chomer tanit sibur noheg bo, it doesn't have the stringencies of the tanit sibur of the rain fasts, le'echol be'odyom. Some of the rain fasts, already you were not allowed to eat from the night before. Ve'ne'esor b'mnacha, and you aren't able to work. You know, those type of fasts didn't exist in Bavel. They would call some fasts, but it didn't have the stringency of Ta'anit Gishim, except Chabav. Chabav already had all the stringency. So again, Amar Shemuel, and Ta'anit Sibur. Bevavel, Ela Teshabav Bilvad. So the Gemara says, Gemara says, Nememra, you mean to say, the Savar Shemuel, Tisha Be'av, Ben HaShemashot Shelo Asur? Which is, now we want to know, how do you treat Ben HaShemashot going into Tisha Be'av? Ben HaShemashot would be twilight. That's right after sunset. Let's argue it for 13 and a half minutes, let's say. You mean to tell me that the Ben HaShemashot time of Tisha Be'av, according to Shemuel, is going to be asur? Why would I think like that? That's she. Bachila u'melacha. It's going to be asur to eat, and for that matter, work. The mahmirim al sefeko, because we're going to be mahmir on sefek kedamin b'tarit sibur, which means Shemuel said the only tarit sibur that we have with all the stringencies is Shabbat. Now we know regarding the tarit sibur of the rain fest, they would start it already from sunset. Ben HaShemashot, they were not able to eat, they were not able to do melachah. That means he's comparing to Tisha B'Av to the Taniyot. So the Gemara said that can be. V'amar Shemuel, Shemuel himself said, Tisha B'Av Ben HaShemashot Shelo Mutar. Shemuel himself said that Ben HaShemashot of Tisha B'Av is Mutar to eat, is Mutar to do melachah. So what's going on over here? Stira. Gemara answers, tries to answer. V'chi tema kasabar Shemuel kol ta'anit sibud ben HaShemashot shelo mutar. Yeah, maybe Shemuel holds on ta'anit sibud also it's mutar. Which is, who told you in the rain fast that it's asur also according to Shemuel? Maybe he's lenient also over there also. So we say ta'anit sibud Shabbat are the same. Just like on ta'anit sibud he could work and eat ben HaShemashot, so to the Shabbat if we have no stira. Gemara says can't be. V'anan tenam v'beferush mishnah masechet ta'anit ochlim v'shotim be'od yom. Clearly the Mishnah says on those fast days you're only allowed to eat erev, meaning before, during the day. What is Mebe'od Yom coming to exclude? Lemi'ute mai, lav lemi'ute ben HaShemashot. It's coming to exclude ben HaShemashot, because ben HaShemashot on these rain fasts is asur. So how could Shemuel say that it's mutar? Ela must be agrees that what? It is asur as well. So Gemara says, lo, lemi'ute mishachashecha. It's coming to exclude evening, which means it's just telling you on those rain fasts, you eat during the day before. But what? Once night comes, it's asur. But I can tell you really Ben HaShemashot is mutar. And therefore, no problem. I can tell you, Shemuel holds on the Tarit Shibur Ben HaShemashot is mutar. And Shabbat also, Ben HaShemashot is mutar. If we have no stira. Nema Messiah. And then Gemara goes the other way. Let me bring a proof to you that Ben HaShemashot is mutar, according to Shemuel, Ben HaShemashot. And Ben Tisha B'Av, the Yom Kippurim, there is no difference between Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, Ela Shezeh Sefeko Asur, Vezeh Sefeko Mutar. Meaning Kippur, Sefek Asur, Tisha B'Av, Sefek Mutar. What are you talking about? What's Sefek? So the Gemara says, My Sefeko Mutar, Lav Ben HaShemashot. Must be Ben HaShemashot. Ben HaShemashot is a quasi-time. We don't know if it's Yom. We don't know if it's Laila. And what is the statement saying? That on Kippur, Sifeko Asur. Because Kippur is the Oraita. Therefore, Ben HaShemashot, you're not allowed to eat. However, Chabeav, Sifeko, Mutar. Because since Chabeav is Rabbanan, Ben HaShemashot will say Mutar. Proof positive that what?
that you see there's a shita that says bin ha-shemashot on Tisha'a B'Av is mutar, and therefore we consider that is Shemuel. Shemuel holds bin ha-shemashot is mutar, and no problem. So the Gemara says, no, that's not the interpretation. Which is just like Rav Sheshah said in a different place regarding the establishment of Rosh Chodesh, for the establishment of Rosh Chodesh. Meaning, on Kippur, since we really don't know in certain places yet when Rosh Hashanah was, so the day that we celebrate Kippur is really Safek. We don't know if Kippur is on that day or the next day. So therefore, Rav Sheshah says, Legabe Kippur, Safek or Asur, that really we should fast 2 days, because it's Safek Deoraita. Whereas Tisha B'Av, you also don't know in some places when exactly they made Rosh Chodesh Av. So Tisha B'Av should either be on the 9th or the 10th. Well, Safek O Mutar. Why? Because of the Rabbanan. So therefore, the Safek was not referring to Ben Hashem Azot. Yeah, I tell you, Ben Hashem Azot is Asur on Tisha B'Av. Then we have no proof to Shemuel. But I'll tell you, what was the deen, the safek we're discussing over here? Do you have to do 2 days or not? Tosfot takes the sheet to test because he says, what are you talking about? We don't fast 2 days on Kippur.
Right.
We have, according to the sheet, comes after fast 2 days Kippur. We don't do that. So Tosfot is talking about a guy that's lost. A guy that's on the derech, and he doesn't know what day it is. So therefore, he's misupak. So on Kippur, that guy technically would have to be mahmir 2 days. Masha'ik and Shabab, if he's misupak, we'd only have to do 1 day. In any event, you see clearly that you have no proof for Shemuel that would say that bin ha-shemashot of Tisha B'Av is mutar. Okay? Comes the Gemara further. Tarash Rabba. Rabba said to Rasha, Obrot, those are ladies that are pregnant, Umenikot, those are ladies that are nursing, Mit'anot Umashlimot Bo. They have to fast on the Tisha B'Av, and they have to finish the fast. Kederich shemitanot umashlimot b'yom kippurim. Just like they fast on Yom Kippur, the pregnant ladies and the nursing ladies, Tisha B'Av also, same law. Uben ha-shemashot shelo asur. Clearly it says, and the ben ha-shemashot is going to be asur, which means it's mashmah the ben ha-shemashot of Chabe'ab is going to be Asur. So comes the Gemara and says, Vechen Amru Meshemed Rabbi Yohanan. And also Rabbi Yohanan said the same thing. So comes that we have a machloket over here. Is the Ben Hashemashot of Tisha B'Av Mutar or Asur? According to Shemuel, we wanted to say, could be it's Mutar because he also read on regular Tarit Shibur also, it's Mutar. But here, according to Rabbi Yohanan, we're saying that Ben Hashemashot of Tisha B'Av is going to be Asur. So the Gemara says, "Umi Amar Rabbi Yohanan Ache." Did Rabbi Yohanan really indeed say that Ben Hashemashot of Tisha B'Av is Asur? Ve'amar Rabbi Yohanan Tisha B'Av Eno Ketanit Sibur. Now, what did that statement mean? It's not like a Tanit Sibur. My love the Ben Hashemashot must be for the Ben Hashemashot factor. Meaning, he holds that Tanit Sibur Ben Hashemashot Asur, Tisha B'Av Ben Hashemashot Mutar. Gemara says, "La Lemlacha, Melacha." Meaning, Melacha is Asur on, not Kippur, on Tanit Tzibur, and it's Mutar on Tisha B'Av. So the Gemara says, what? Well, what are you getting involved in that subject? That's already our Mishnah discusses Melacha, Tisha B'Av. Melacha, Tanina. The Melacha is our Mishnah. Makom Shnagu La'asot Melacha Tisha B'Av Osin. Makom Shnagu Shot La'asot Shelo La'asot En Osin. Which means the discussion of Melacha Tisha B'Av is subject to Minhag. So Rabbi Yohanan could not have been referring to that.
We learned the Mishnah.
Which means when Rabbi Yohanan made a statement that said Tisha B'Av Eino Ketani Tzibur, he could not have been referring to Melacha and be saying that what? That Tani Tzibur Melacha is Asur, Tisha B'Av Melacha is Mutar. But Melacha is already a Mishnah. It depends on the Minhag. Now, va'afilu Rashbag, and even Rabban Shimon Gamliel, lo amar ela dechiyati velo avid. He just said if a regular layman sits and doesn't work, lo mehziki yuhara. It's not considered arrogance. Meaning, if a regular layman wants to act like a tamid hakam, aval mesar lo asar. But even Rashbag was not osir. which means the discussion of melacha tisha b'av according to the Mishnah really is, it's mutar. There's no she'erah, it's mutar. The only question is it minhag or not minhag? And even Rashbag that said the layman can act like a tamir hakam, he was just saying he can act like a tamir hakam, but it's really not asur for him to work as well. So therefore, obviously Rashbag was not discussing the heter of doing melacha on tisha b'av. That's a mitzvah Mishnah. Ela mai, ela, what was he referring to? Eno kita'anit sibur netfilat ne'ila. On these ta'anit sibur that they fasted for the rains, the Gemara ta'anit says they would also pray an additional prayer of ne'ila. Meaning after minha, they would pray tefilat ne'ila. So all he's saying is, and you should know, Shabbat is not like that. The Shabbat, there is no special tefilah of ne'ila. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Ve'amar Rabbi Yohanan, ulvaish yitpalel adam ve'olech kol hayom kulo. We learned in Masechet Berachot regarding the statement of Rabbi Yohanan, ulvai, meaning we wish a person would pray all day long, which means the more a person prays, the nicer it is, which means there's no such thing as berachal batala on an extra prayer. So therefore, what is he saying? Well, on the Shabbat, no ne'ila. Why not? Hey, Rabbi Yohanan, you're the opinion is, the more the better. Right. We wish a guy would pray all day long. So why are you limiting the guy on Tisha B'Av from Ne'ila? Let him pray Ne'ila. We wish people would pray all day long. So give us a Hatam Choba. Haka Reshut. But we're just saying that the difference between Talit Sibur and Tisha B'Av is on Talit Sibur you have to pray Ne'ila. Whereas on Tisha B'Av, according to Rabbi Yohanan, it's optional. Good? Let's see. Hatam choba, Rashi, betanit sibur choba medrabanan. It's a rabbinical obligation. Upetesha be'av, ashmeina delav chobau. Umikol makom, imbal et palel koyimot ashira mutar, uldai. Meaning, even if you're halal mutar, you want to pray ne'ila every day? Pray it, uldai shit pala adam kolayom. It's just that you're not obligated to do it on Tisha be'av. Last point. Ve'iba et ema, or I could say another answer, what Rabbi Yohanan meant when he said, Tisha B'Av is not like Talit Sibur. My enok Talit Sibur le'esrim v'arba'a for the 24. Meaning, on Talit Sibur, on the later fast, as the fast progressed, they would add 6 berachot to the Amidah. And the Gemara Ta'anit lists those berachot. Special supplications asking God for Rahamim, Mishanat Abraham Abinu, Mishanat Yitzhak, etc., Mishanat Avotenu Al Yamsuf. It's all the different berachot that are read in Masechet Ta'anit. So the extra and additional 6 berachot that comes out, there was 24 berachot in the Amidah of Ta'anit. So they're just telling you that on Shabbat you don't add those extra 6, you just pray the regular Amidah. Rashi says, "Le'esrim v'arba'a detnan b'masechet Ta'anit she'mosifim b'Ta'anit Sibur 6 berachot al 18." And the Gemara continues. Rappapa amar, "May eno ketanit sibur," which means, let's just review quickly. We're trying to reconcile a stira between the statements of Rabbi Yohanan. Here we have one statement in the name of Rabbi Yohanan that said that ben hashemashot shelo asur, which means the ben hashemashot of Tisha B'Av is asur, meaning ba'asiyat melacha and in achila. The Gemara challenged that and said, "Umi amar Rabbi Yohanan hache? Didn't we see a statement of Rabbi Yohanan that said Tisha B'Av eno keta'anit sibur, that Tisha B'Av is not like a Ta'anit Sibur?" And we concluded, what does it mean, not like a Ta'anit Sibur? So we wanted to say, it means the Anyan Ben HaShemashot, that the Ben HaShemashot by Ta'anit Sibur is Asur, that's the rain fest, but the Tisha B'Av, it's going to be permissible. So therefore we have a stira in those two statements. So the Gemara till now tried to reconcile different answers to say. Now the Gemara says in the name of Rappapa, "My Ta'anit Sibur," what did it mean when it said it's like Ta'anit Sibur? Eno karishonot, elo ela ka'aharonot, and asura, which means when we said it's like a Ta'anit Sibur we meant to say, I'm sorry, when we said Eno Ketani Tzibut, and it's not like a Tani Tzibut, there's different types of Tani Tzibut. There's the early Tani Tzibut, the first three, and then there's the later ones. So when we said it's not like the Tani Tzibut, it's not like the earlier ones, that it's permissible, Ben Hashem Ashot, to eat and to work. Ela, it's like the later ones, and the later ones are indeed Asur. Ben Hashem Ashur. So therefore, really, the Bi'uchanan statements are consistent. In the Kenemir, according to the Papa, really, he holds that Tisha B'Av, Ben Hashem Ashur, is Asur. Aye, but it says, Ena Ketani Tzibur, meaning, Ena Ketani Tzibur, the Shalosh Lishonot, that Ben Hashem Ashur is Mutar. Ela, what is it like? The Acharonot, which is indeed Asur. So therefore, the statements of the Bi'uchanan are squared off. Meti Be, the Gemara has a question from a Braita. And then Tisha B'Av liyom kipurim ela sheze sefeko asur v'ze sefeko mutar. The Braita says that the only difference between Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippurim is that when it comes to Yom Kippurim, we go sefek asur. When we have a doubt, we go lachmir. And v'zeh, when it comes to Tisha B'Av, sefek or mutar. Now we don't know what the sefek is talking about. What type of sefek? So the Gemara says, my sefek or mutar. What does it mean sefek or mutar? Lav ben Hashem Ashot shelo. It must be referring to Ben Hashem Ashur, which is Safek Yom Safek Laila. And it's saying that the Safek of Tisha B'Av, meaning the Ben Hashem Ashur, the Tisha B'Av is Mutar. Oh, that's a Braita. Rabbi Yohanan cannot be going against a Braita, because now we're learning according to the Papa that he holds Ben Hashem Ashur really is Asur. But we have a Braita that's Mashma, that's Safeko Mutar. Amar Rav Shisha B'Rav Idi Lo Likbi Adi Yarcha. Like we said earlier, it's referring to the case of when you have a doubt when Rosh Chodesh was. So Legabe Kippur, if you have a doubt when Rosh Chodesh Tishri was, you have to celebrate 2 days of Kippur, because Safek Doraita. However, you have a doubt when Rosh Chodesh Av was, you only have to celebrate 1 day after Tisha B'Av, because we Safek the Rabbanan, the Kura. So that's what means the Safek. Really, when it comes to Ben Hashem Asot, I'll tell you it is Asur, like Rabbi Hanan said. I would say Sifeko Mutar, Ne'anyan, if you don't know when, Rosh Chodesh is Kivyut Yarcha. Now the Gemara goes on to a side point. You just told me that there's no difference between Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippurim. They're equal. Only the Inyan Safek. So the Gemara makes a diyuk. Ha lechol devarim zevaze shavim. But implying that in every other law, Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippurim are going to be equal. Mesaya le'Rabbi El-Azhar. So we have a proof to the Shita of Rabbi El-Azhar. De'amar Rabbi El-Azhar, asur lo le'adam shiyoshit etzba'o b'mayim b'Tisha B'Av. It's forbidden for a person to even soak or dip his finger in water on Tisha B'Av, because bathing is asur. Kedere she'asur le'oshit etzba'o b'Yom Kippurim. Just as it is forbidden to do so on Yom Kippurim, which means they're showing us the extent of the Isur of Yom of Tisha B'Av, which means it's so Asur on Tisha B'Av, just like Kippur, meaning you can't even dip your finger in the water. Meti Ben Tisha B'Av has a question from a Braita. And Ben Tisha B'Av, the Tani Tzibur, Ela Sheze Asur Ba'asiyat Melacha, Veze Mutar Ba'asiyat Melacha, Bimkom Shinahagu. We have a Braita. The Braita says there is no difference between Tisha B'Av and the Tani Tzibur of the rain fast. The only difference is that the rain fasts, Taniyot, are Asur Ba'asiyat Melacha. However, Tisha B'Av is Mutar Ba'asiyat Melacha in a place...
That's custom.
Right, that have the custom to do Melacha. So the Gemara makes a Diyuk. Ha, Lechol Devrem Zevaze Shavim. But for everything else, Tani Tzibur and Tisha B'Av are going to be equal. And we know the iluga b'tani tzibur, tanya by tani tzibur, we know. Kishya amru asur b'lchitza, which we know is forbidden to bathe on tani tzibur as well, lo amru ela kol gufo, which means it's only asur to take a full body bath, wash. But to wash your face, or your hands, or your legs, is permissible. Now, if you're telling me that that's the extent of Isur on Tani Tzibur, and you're telling me that Tani Tzibur and Tisha B'Av are equal, only the Anyan Melacha, they're different, that means on Tisha B'Av also, it's permissible to what? To take a panad yadav v'raglav. What do you mean? You just told me that it's like Kippur in the sense that what? That it's asur even to put the finger in kederek shasur lo shin esbav yom kippurim. So the Gemara has a stira in the Braitot. Ama the papa. So the papa comes along and answers tane kule kule ketani, which means the Tana that said both these Braitot that seemingly are contradictory,
He just was coming to point out the leniencies of Tisha B'Av. What does it mean? We explained. Which means, originally, he made a statement and said that Tisha B'Av is kal, is lenient than Kippur. In what sense? Shezeh sefeko asur, vezeh sefeko mutar. It was just pointing out a leniency. Then he came along and said that another leniency, that Tisha B'Av is more lenient than Tanit Sibur, in the sense that what? That Tanit Sibur is asur b'melacha, and Tisha B'Av is mutar b'asiyat melacha b'mkom sheno hagim. And therefore the Tana is not discussing the humrot, which means we're not discussing the stringencies where you can come now and make a diyuk and say, oh, that in this we're stringent, or the stringencies, but in everything else it is equal, which means really I'll tell you, Tisha B'Av is more stringent than a Tanit Sibur. Meaning, the Gabet Tanit Sibur, it's permissible to take a Panav Yadav Ragla bathing. Whereas on Tisha B'Av, in a Chinam, it's only going to be Asur to dip your finger in, which is even Rechitzah culture will be Asur like Kippurim. And therefore, you cannot make the yuk. Let's read the top Rashi together. Tana kule kule nakat, meaning kol hane en ben had tana had tana amlinu, which means all these brightot that said en ben, meaning en ben tisha b'av le Kippurim, en ben tisha b'av le Tanit Sibur. Both those brightot were said by one tana. The kule kule nakat, and in both he was trying to point out how tisha b'av is more lenient than Kippur. How is it more lenient than Tanit Sibur? Beresha Tana, in the first statement he said, let's just get the right text in Rashi. En Tisha B'Av Kal Miyom Kippurim Nechatahila, meaning Tisha B'Av is not more lenient than Yom Kippurim. Ela Shezeh Sefeko, meaning Anyan Kibiut Yarcha. This Sefeko Asur, Kippur, and this Sefeko Mutar. The Sefa, then he came along and said, it's not more lenient only in one item. Which is, he was not discussing the side of Humrot that the Tisha B'Av has over Tanit Sibur. He was only coming to point out the leniencies, which means the Tisha B'Av has a leniency over Kippur like this. The Tisha B'Av has a leniency over Tanit Sibur like this. Meaning by Kippur it's Kivut Yarcha, by Tanit Sibur it's Melacha. And therefore once already that's the point of the Tana, you cannot come along and make a diyuk and say, huh. Oh, ha, lechol devar achayev shavin, and everything else to equal. No, it's not so. They're not equal. Meaning, there's some cases, lechumrah, that the Tisha B'Av will even be more hamur than Tanit Sibur. Mm-hmm. Which is the purpose of the Tana was only to show you where the Tisha B'Av is more lenient than a Tanit Sibur. So you're right, it's more lenient in one case. It's more lenient than what? That the Anyan, Tanit Sibur is asur b'melacha, for everybody. What Tisha B'Av, it depends. Good. That's the only kula. Now, don't make it, you can say, oh, everything else, they're equal. No, on the contrary, there's some cases where the Tisha B'Av will be more, even more hamur than Tanit Sibur. Where? The Gabay washing. Whereas on Tanit Sibur is putar, panav yadav raglav, the Gabay Tisha B'Av is going to be as soon. So that she concludes, on the stringencies that Tanit Sibur or Tisha B'Av has over Tanit Sibur, lo aydi hacha. We're not discussing over here ditiduk, meaning that you can make a diyuk ze baze shavim, and then you can come along and say that in everything else they're equal ulinyan ulolam, and therefore you'll say that just like on yichitzah by ezmutar panav yagav, so too by Tisha B'Av. No, ulolam ulinyan yichitzah Tisha B'Av hamir. Really, Tisha B'Av is more chamur than Tanit Sibur. So therefore, we thought originally, just speaking out one last time, we thought originally you can make diukim. That what? The only difference is this. Everything. No, that's not the diuk. Diuk is le'inyan ka, le'inyan kula, this is the kula that you find over Tisha B'Av, over Tanit Sibur. Don't now come along and say, but everything else to equal. No, it's not so. They're not equal to everything else. Because I'll show you there's a chumrah that Tisha B'Av has that
Tani Chibur doesn't. And what is that? And the same thing by Kippur. Kippur, you're telling me what? Kippur has a kula, Shabbat has a kula over Kippur. What's the kula? Kibbi ucharcha. The gabe, tisha'a be'ad, safek, you do one day. The yanyan Kippur, there's a chumrah, you go,
2 days.
But again, it's only pointing out the kula. But in the chirameh, it is going to be equal to Kippur in the sense that what? Just like Kippur is asur bin chitza. Afilu be'etzba ketana and ma'ayim. So, yes, which means, but you're not mitaking anything from these blaitot. Because these purposes of these blaitot was to show where Shabbat is kal from Kippur, and where Shabbat kal from Tani Sibur. Chumrot, we're discussing chumrot, you come along and make the yukim. But in a chanameh, there is a chumrah that the Shabbat, which you cannot mitayek from the blaitot if we have a question. Mm-hmm. And therefore, we can go back to our regular deen that in a chanameh, Shabbat has a stringency over Tani Sibur, that what? It is asud bin chitza, called shul.